the EFL. It's the Football League podcast that eats Easter eggs bought for its children without one iota of remorse. Coming up, it's the most wonderful time of the year in the EFL. We'll focus on the teams for whom the Easter weekend could be make or break. Powered by Quinbet, this is What the EFL. Yeah, hope you're ready for the big one, guys. It's always the part of the season where things seem to be sorted or very nearly sorted, and we're here to look forward to it all. It's me, Matt Davis Adams. I'm joined again by Sam Parkin. You okay, Sam?
Yeah, really good. Good to see you both.
Yeah, Adrian Clark's found space in his busy schedule for us this week. Well, welcome back, Parkin.
Yeah.
Honestly, you did great last week. You kept me company as I drove up to Burnley. Amazing route. I mean, I know you know this route, the snake pass through the Peak District. It was phenomenal, but you guys got me through it. I thought you were worryingly good without me, so that was a bit of an issue. And on the Easter egg thing, just last night, raided the cupboard, carrier bag full of Easter eggs that were meant to be given to people, and yeah, tucked one away. It's great.
Yeah, sweets and chocolate are bad for children. It's simply good parenting to not give them to them. Right, before we get into things, let me remind you about the offer from our partners, Quinbet, where you can now get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35, minimum three bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quin Casino. Even if your account's up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Right, before we do our Easter preview, Adrian, you were at Wembley on Sunday to see Peterborough beat Birmingham by 2-0 in the Virtue Motors Trophy final.
Honestly, yeah, it was a great occasion, actually. Great occasion. Two amazing goals. You know, Harley Mills, he had to fight to get the free kick because Kwame Poku, who was brilliant on the day, really wanted to take the free kick, and he had to sort of get the nod from Darren Ferguson, young Harley, and he was granted permission to take it, and then he stuck it in the top bin like Declan Rice. It was absolutely amazing. And then Hector Kyprianou stuck one in the top corner as well from a cutback from the aforementioned left back, who was just great. But yeah, it was a dream team performance from Peterborough. This is a posh team that been leaking goals for fun all season, but really resilient at the back. Midfield too, didn't have much to the ball, Collins and Kyprianou, but got through loads of work. And then the front four always carried a threat. Mother Seal in that 10 role, Morgan Rogers style, sort of making things happen, combining really well actually with Ricky J. Jones. And then on the wings, yeah, Otto and Poku, it was class. Yeah, always kept Birmingham on their toes. It was completely deserved. Completely deserved. Birmingham didn't really get going. It was very disappointing. But yeah, I was really pleased for the Peterborough supporters because they retained the trophy. First team to do that ever. And yeah, despite having a low amount of possession, that they were the better team.
Yeah, incredible, really, given that they'd lost to them in the week, but also that there are 47 points between them in the league table. Salvage is posh this season. They've been rubbish in the league, but they've got some silverware to show for the campaign. So well done to them. Right, next today, we're going to talk Easter in the EFL. So if you're a long-time listener, you might remember we did something similar last year. The chaps have picked some teams for whom they feel the Easter weekend doubleheader could prove pivotal. We'll start in the Championship and near the top thereof. Sam, you've gone for Sheffield United first up, third, 5 points behind Burnley and Leeds, home to Cardiff, then away to Burnley for them Good Friday, Easter Monday. I mean, it was last week you and I were discussing Chris Wilder and how wise it was for him to have a pop at his own fans. I think it was probably even less wise to have a brawl in the tunnel at home park.
I'm so pleased you've started with that.
It's gone, isn't it?
Forget the analysis. This is where I wanted to start today's podcast. Is there a better tunnel in the Championship for the neutral, for the spectator to have a fracas in than the one at Argyle? I mean, your camera side, There's even a little bit of, I don't know, a little bit of AstroTurf. It's open, you know, for the viewers. It was perfect. Probably not well advised, but yeah, emotions are incredibly high, and I didn't see exactly what the Argyle players were doing, but there was a bit of goading going on, wasn't there? Because they're walking across the front of the away supporters there, and Chris Wilder is Sheffield United through and through. So yeah, a little bit untidy at the end of the game, but yeah, in terms of the result, desperate for them. Desperate. Who would have thought that, given the last few months of the season, we'd be in a position now where there's a 5-point cushion? So the Cardiff game on Friday, have to win to give themselves an opportunity on Monday against Burnley. So we'll see what kind of state they're in when they take to the field on Monday. In terms of the game at Argyle, they had that big opportunity, Campbell, just prior to Argyle's winner. So they had the opportunity. I think at 1-0 as well, if they get the second goal, and I think Chris Wilder alluded to this, then they probably go on and have a comfortable afternoon. So losing Souza, he pointed towards as well, being a little bit of an issue, which has obviously hindered them on occasion in the last few weeks. And forward players, all of a sudden, not in form. Campbell probably being the most obvious one. Brereton Diaz as well, hence Cannon getting a run in the team and not being able to find the net. So yeah, I expect them to beat Cardiff on Friday, and that should set up the Burnley game on Monday, whether they can go and make it open fair and have a few goals in that game. I doubt, but at least it'll be one that we can all get really excited about.
And it means that we can segue nicely into Clarkie's first choice, who are Burnley. So, as we said, 5 ahead of Sheffield United, behind Leeds on goal difference, albeit that is a 9-goal swing. So, I mean, effectively, that's a point really, isn't it? Away to Watford before that home game against Sheffield United. You watched them edge out Norwich, Clarkie, in their most recent game. What did you learn that you didn't know before?
Not loads. It wasn't... It was kind of Burnley in a nutshell. You know, they showed their quality, particularly early on in the game, swept into a 2-goal lead, deservedly. Great intensity, really good football, lots of long diagonals from the centre halves, Estève and Egan Riley out to the wingers, Jaden Anthony and Marcus Edwards, and from there they build really nicely, scored 2 lovely goals. Hannibal was great, actually. He came in, he's been sort of in and out, hasn't he, most of the season. He played at 10 and was everywhere, really industrious throughout that first half, and yeah, he was probably the pick of the players on the day. But yeah, in the second half they actually sat on the lead a little bit and it got a little bit twitchy, I have to say, but they've still not conceded more than 1 goal in the game, still not lost since the 3rd of November, and Norwich scored only the second goal all season to have been scored against Burnley in the final half an hour of a game.
Wow.
So yeah, look, it was good win. They've got Watford away, which is tricky, but very winnable. And then it's the big one, Sheffield United at home, where inevitably it'll be a 0-0 draw.
Yeah, you would have thought so, wouldn't you? Still unbeaten.
No spoilers. We're predicting that later on.
Yeah, I think we'll probably all go for that, I reckon. A little bit further down the table, but not too far, Sam. You've gone for Millwall. They're 9th. They're 3 points off the playoffs, away to Blackburn, home to Norwich, 1-3 in a row, 1-4 of their last 5. I guess maybe the question mark about their playoff credentials is whether they got enough goals in them. Only scored more than once in a game in one of the last 5, but crikey, the Alex Neil effect has been pronounced.
Yeah, it's proving to be an inspired appointment. I think we all like the fit, partly because Mill was quite a scary place to go and you're petrified of Alex Neil. Matt, there's nothing more sophisticated than that, but I thought it was a real standout victory over Middlesbrough, because I felt going into it without Josh Coburn, that could affect them, because I think that's been really their kind of strong suit, being able at Mill as well, getting 2 strikers in the lineup, which is difficult to do, I think, in the modern game. And I think managers have tried and failed at Millwall to kind of toe that line. But in Ivanovic and Coburn, I think they played 4 games straight together during this upturn of form. And obviously having him missing against his parent club was going to be problematic for them. So Kundal continued to play. I think he actually came in and played as part of the midfield where they've been playing this diamond, and they did it to great effect at Sheffield United. It was one of the best away performances I've seen in recent times. And yeah, in terms of all the teams that are jostling for the playoff positions, they are the team now that have overtaken Coventry that are banging form. Can they get back-to-back victories over Easter weekend? That will be incredibly tough. I fancy them at Blackburn, obviously with, well, both teams with very little to play for. And I think that's the pertinent point. A few weeks ago, you looked at Millwall's running and you thought, oh, they've got some big fish still to face. They've got some enormous games with teams at the higher end of the table. All of a sudden, you know, they've got three games coming up against teams essentially on the beach. So they have put themselves in a brilliant position. They finish against Burnley, do they not? And I think they are, if memory serves, the last team to beat Burnley. So they've got an opportunity, Millwall, all of a sudden out of nowhere, which would be an incredible story.
Yeah, they'll be hoping that Burnley have already secured either first or second place by that point, because it's at Turf Moor on the last day of the season. Another team on 60 points, Clarkie, are West Bromwich Albion. So they're above Millwall on goal difference. They are seventh going into their game away to Coventry. They're then at home to Derby. I mean, they needed that win against Watford, didn't they? First win in six attempts, but six wins from 18 games since the turn of the year is not exactly promotion form. It's sort of amazing that they're still in contention.
Yeah, it's not been good enough, really. And look, Tony Mowbray is, you know, he's a popular guy. Everyone loves him, but he hasn't really settled on a style or his preferred team. Maybe there are signs of that now. He's getting there. I mean, he's tried lots of different formations. He's tried two up front. He's tried different configurations, but he seems to have now switched things around. Less possession, less attacking, more drawing teams on before then going and hurting them on the break. And it kind of makes sense with Fellows and Mikey Johnson as your sort of wide guys. So yeah, make more of a counter-attacking style. Now, that'll probably come in handy at Coventry in a sort of big Derby-ish game there. But then at home to Derby, they'll no doubt have a lot more of the ball, and they'll have to find a way to win that game in a different style. Yeah, they just need a big Easter, don't they? They need at least 4 points from those two games, if not the six. I noticed that they've picked their player of the year already, which I thought they've got a bit early. Higham got it. Malumbi second, Styles third. Tom Fellows is the young player of the year, and I do like him. He's only 21. He's got the most assists in the Championship, 13. Two really, really good assists against Watford, where he runs down the right and cuts it back, but, you know, he picks out the players. He's not just hitting an area. So he's someone I really like. Another really interesting part of it is Adam Armstrong can't really get going. Mm. Mowbray doesn't really fancy him up front at the moment. He's using him on the wing or on the bench. Will Lankshear, the guy on loan from Spurs, you know, good number nine. He's the guy at the moment in possession of that shirt. Hasn't scored yet. But he's, yeah, he might start against Coventry. So yeah, look, they need a massive East to West Brom. Player-wise, they're good enough to get the playoffs, but I don't know. Don't know if they've got the consistency to do it this year.
Yeah, I haven't won back-to-back games in the league since September, so a big ask for them to do it here. We'll switch our focus to the bottom of the table for the final two Championship teams. Sam's gone for Luton, second bottom, 3 points from safety ahead of games at Derby and home to Bristol City. Goodness me, that was a damaging defeat against Blackburn at Kenilworth Road, wasn't it? I think we all probably earmarked that as one that they were likely to get 3 points in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I think they've been at a low ebb throughout the season, haven't they, the supporters? I think this is a new low in the aftermath of this defeat. The realisation that it could be League One next season is incredibly strong now. I think he's been able to obviously stop them shipping goals, Matt Bloomfield, which was really important when he came in. So there's a definite tick in that box. I think some of the new players have added a little bit more unpredictability, a bit of creativity. I think Asgard has already shown that he's going to be a real talent in the Championship, hopefully, but probably more realistically in League One next season. Ali as well, who they took from Exeter, both of those players hitting the woodwork in that aforementioned game have shown flashes, and I think good to see them in the team just to give them breathe a little bit more life into Luton. But the problems remain in front of goal. You know, they're just not scoring goals. The centre forwards haven't been able to contribute as we would have anticipated from their seasons in the Premier League. They've scored more than one once in the last 14 games. So it's not going to change overnight. Listen, it's going to be tight margins at Derby. We know that. I kind of fancy them against Bristol City on the Monday, just because I think Bristol City are in such a good position. And with the quick turnaround between games, they play at home on Friday. I just think that Luton can maybe get something there. So it'd be imperative to try and go and get at least a point at Derby. Where would they be maybe if they'd have gone and got King Kone, my mate, in the window? Could he have scored the goals to maybe put them in a better position for survival? But yeah, it's looking incredibly difficult. And I think realistically, we'll probably know come Tuesday what Luton's fate's going to be.
King Kone, is that how we refer to him now? I like it. Yeah, it's got a nice ring to it.
On this podcast, yeah.
I think I saw it tweeted, to be fair, from someone of a Wickham persuasion or maybe even the admin there. So I nicked it, swiped it just because I talked him up no end.
Sounds king-like, yeah.
Yeah, I like it. It's not Tweet of the Week, though. That's to come later. Luton, by the way, haven't won away to Derby since 1990. So they'll need to turn the history books on their heads if they're to change that. Speaking of the Rams, that's your final pick, Adrian. A place and a point above the relegation zone. So it's home to Luton, away to West Brom over Easter. Have they maybe got the toughest running of everybody down there? Because they've got to play Hull and Stoke as well, and they'll be desperate for the points too.
Well, yeah, tough in one aspect because no one's on the beach, but also, you know, they've got three of the relegation strugglers. So yeah, if they're going to survive, you know, if you're going to be good enough to survive, you've got to beat the teams around you, haven't you, or take points off of them. So I don't think they'll be upset by this at all, because look, one win against Luton is massive. And they get, if they beat Hull or Stoke, I think that's enough to keep them up. I wouldn't back against them to get something at West Brom, maybe a draw Derby County, because they're playing well. They've lost only one of their last seven. They've won four of those games as well under John Eustace. We've said it all season, Derby have got fight. They've got a bit of character, got a bit of spunk about them. They just didn't have a lot of quality and a lot of goal threat. That's the issue. But he sort of landed on a 3-5-2, John Eustace. Harness has come to the party as sort of an unexpected strike partner for Jerry Yates, and they're both chipped in with the odd important goal lately. So having your forwards, you know, make an impact is good. I was really surprised, actually, that he changed it, John Eustace, for the game at Pompey. He went for more of a 3-4-3 with Mendes Lang coming in for Jordan Thompson and going more attack-minded. And it sort of paid off because they were 2-1 up until injury time. But yeah, I wonder whether here they'll go a bit safer and just go with that three-man midfield and just the two up front. So, yeah, you've got to admire what he's done. He's found a formation, he's found a team, as in a starting 11 he can trust, and I think they're going to get the job done. But Luton at home is colossal, isn't it? They just can't lose that. If they lose that game, they're bang in trouble again.
Fingers crossed. Right, we will go to League One next. And we're going to start at the bottom in League One for a couple of the teams that the boys have picked out. Sam, you've gone for Bristol Rovers, 21st, which is the final relegation place behind Burton on goal difference. They're away to Wrexham, then home to Stevenage. Six defeats on the spin. And I mean, can you see them picking up any more points?
Realistically, they are bang in trouble. There's the form, there's the flip side as to how good Burton have been over such a long period. I think if you look at the biggest problem now, I think is, well, there's a lot of individual errors. And I was privy to that when I was there for the Birmingham game recently, just on that, where they would be had they have managed to get a point against Birmingham. That could have turned the season a little bit if they hadn't conceded 85th minute to Birmingham and a Stansfield penalty on that evening. But yeah, too many individual errors, not enough goal threat. and Burton have a game in hand, and Burton have goal scorers. Burrell at Burton scored 10 since New Year's Day. And Bristol Rovers have lost Chris Martin. They've lost Promise Somachiri. I think those two players missing, not being ridiculously clinical, productive this season in front of goal, but they're guys that can get goals. And I think Chris Martin's proved that, and Omachiri was bought for big money, I'm led to believe, and they've lost those two. So Odonka, on loan from Oxford, played very well that night against Birmingham, but has not added to that goal he got. Sotiriou, it's had a good period relatively recently, but I think he's 1 in 6 now. So that's a big problem for them. And the fixtures are horrible. Wrexham, Stevenage, I mean, that's the one they have to win, but they had to beat Exeter at the weekend, and they failed in front of their own supporters. So it's looking very difficult. The away games in particular, 10 defeats from 12 under Calderon, just one draw at Shrewsbury, and we know their fate already, and one win at Cambridge. So going to Wrexham first off on Friday, and obviously Blackpool last day of the season, I'm not envisaging them getting anything there. So 6 points against Stevenage and Reading is a must. And then you're hoping that Terry Burton don't finish the season that they've been in for a number of months now.
Sam calls him Terry. I call him Dion. Everybody else calls him Burton Albion. Above Bristol Rovers on goal difference, Clarkey. Away to Exeter, home to Birmingham. I mean, we ought to just reiterate what an unbelievable job Gary Bowyer has done. They didn't win a game until November. They only won 2 before the turn of the year. They've won 9 since. That's extraordinary.
Yeah, yeah. So many wins. You know, they've avoided a lot of draws. You know, the value of the win is you know, you can afford to lose some if you keep winning the other games. And that's been the tale really for Burton. Yeah, Gary Bowyer has done great. He had a big revamp, didn't he, in January with the personnel, and a lot of those guys have come in and performed for him. And some of the players that were sort of frozen out a bit before he arrived have turned into key players. And you know, Roman Burrell is one that Sam referenced there. He's got 4 in 5. He's got 10 in the calendar year. Had a great season at Cove Rangers last year. That was the sort of kickstart for his career. Not many players can sort of say that career path. Sort of, I think he was released by Borough, and then he went to Falkirk, did well. Then he went to Cove Rangers, did amazingly, and he's ended up at Burton, and he's flying. And, you know, I've looked at a lot of his goals and his contributions, and, you know, he's a real poacher. He's a 6-yard box guy, but also he runs the channels. He's got a bit of pace about him, good movement down the sides, and he often runs in beyond. You know, he beats the offside trap, runs in behind to either shoot or tee up a teammate. You know, he's had a great season. 31%. Conversion rate with his shots as well, Roman Burrell. So very, very good from him. The Exeter game's big, isn't it, for Burton? What I will say is that Burton have only lost 9 of 21 away games this season. That's the same as a lot of the teams in the playoff hunt. So even though they've, you know, had, you know, that winless run, actually away from home all season have been all right. And of course, they got the confidence of winning 3 of their last 5, including wins against Orient and Huddersfield, you know, teams that are going for the playoffs. So what's different under Bowyer? Definitely possession. At the start of this season, 9 of the first 11 games, Burton had over 50% possession. They wanted to keep it, wanted to play neat and tidy football. Their current season average is 43%, which shows you that it has fallen off a cliff in terms of their desire to keep the ball. But they're a better team for it. And look, win at Exeter, home to Birmingham. You know, Birmingham's season's done. They're chasing history. But, you know, how much drive will Birmingham have? That's a game they could maybe nick a point from as well.
Yeah, that does feel like a good time to play Birmingham, definitely. You are already up, but we'll talk about some teams who are in the promotion race and hoping to join them. Sam, you picked Stockport, 4-5 points off second place Wrexham, away to Posh, and then home to Huddersfield. I mean, they feel like good games, don't they? Posh maybe still drunk, Huddersfield all over the place.
Yeah. I think they got a pretty tricky run in. I think they're still difficult games, and they play Lincoln and Wickham away on final day. So it goes without saying they've just got to try and position themselves for that final possible.
Who do you
shootout.
Want in the playoffs if you're Stockport? Who do you fancy?
Burton. They got enough points to play for.
No, but seriously, do you want Charlton or do you want Is it not better to maybe get a very disappointed Wrexham or Wickham if you by finishing sixth? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. I do know exactly what you mean. I'd probably still take Charlton, but it's marginal. Yeah, it's a good point. I think we're going to see examples of this, you know, across the league, certainly in the Championship. We're going to see it, what the response is like for the third place team when they fall into the playoffs. So, yeah, that's a good point. I think Stockport, having had that disappointment when they didn't turn up really against Carlisle, I think they're a good defensive team. Stockport, I think, give or take, you know what the shape's going to be, good continuity. And if you look at the names as well that they've put together there in the 11, the likes of Moxon, Norwood, Jack Diamond, we know about the front players as well, Laffey and Wootton, who's come back to form recently. I think he's 4-4 at the moment. I just think they're a really good rounded team, and they'd go in, yeah, I think they'd go in maybe as favourites in the playoffs, or certainly, you know, second favourite. So it's a big weekend for them. Yeah, I think I'd probably echo that. Playing Peterborough is not the worst game for them. On the defensive statistics, I just noted this morning, they've let in more than one goal in 7 of their 42 games. So they've had a shutout or conceded one in 35 of 42. And that's Birmingham City numbers. So that just shows you how good that back three is. And with the aforementioned firepower, they're a good side. They've won 12 of 19 this year, 7 of the last 8 at home. I expect them to push top two, but playoffs. And yeah, I think the flip side, teams will be wanting to avoid them.
Looks like it. Reading, one of those teams who are in contention with them, Adrian. 6-3 points clear of the playoff chasers. Again, absolutely incredible given what's going on behind the scenes. Home to Lincoln, away to Mansfield. They look like decent fixtures to me.
Yeah, bravo to Reading, to Noel Hunt as well, and to the players that continue to shine, even in a really difficult situation where they don't know whether they're going to be at that club moving forwards. You know, it is outstanding what they're doing. It's been a bit of a style change as well. Definitely a bit more direct under Hunt than they were Selez, having less of the ball. So they've adapted great. Yeah, Lincoln at home, Mansfield away, two teams with nothing really to play for. If they can get 6 points, Reading, I think they book it. I really do. I think it's as big as that, because, you know, you've got Bolton and Huddersfield aren't in great form, really. You know, terrible results last time out, those two. Orient have revived a bit, but, you know, if they can go back-to-back wins here, I think they will get the playoffs. They've only lost 1 in 12. Across the last 12 games, actually, they've been the fifth best team. Don't score many, but they don't let in many. And I think that's really impressive, because if you look at their defence, it's young. It's really young. Tyler Bindon is probably the star man. He's only 20, but I think he's got a future.
Bound for Nottingham Forest. He's already signed for us. He's back there on loan.
Well, there you go. Okay. He's got a couple of players ahead of him in the pecking order at Forest, but that might take some shifting. But even if he doesn't make it there, I think he makes it as a Championship player, Tyler Bindon, for sure. He's 20, and Benge's 23, his partner. The fullback, Recessa, 22, and the left back, and the fullback, it's either Garcia, 17, or Abrifa, who's 21. You know, these are kids, really, who are performing very, very well. In front of them, Savage, 21. Hibashiman, the striker, 21. Chim Campbell, on loan from Wolves, 22. Wareham, 21. Camara, 21. It's such a young team with very little experience, but they're delivering. So yeah, well played, Reading. Huge weekend for them. These are two winnable games, and I hope the fans really get behind the team here, because I know there's been a bit of a, not boycott as such, but a lot have stayed away. Hopefully they can get down to the stadium and cheer them on against Lincoln, because the team deserve it.
Occasional reminder that Jay Wareham, when he joined Leighton Orient on loan, said that he had goals written all over him, which is one of my favourite football quotes of recent years.
Did he really?
Took him a while to get one.
He hasn't, I mean, he hasn't really even scored that many, has he? I know I've picked him up, but...
No, but he's had an interesting route, hasn't he? He started at Woking, went to Chelsea, and now he's found himself in League One. He might be in the Championship next season, who knows? League Two, the chaps have picked a team each. Sam's gone for Bradford, who are second, 3 points behind the leaders Port Vale, two ahead of fourth place Doncaster. They are home to Notts and then away to Chesterfield. This after that incredible 5-4 thriller that they came out on the wrong side of against Swindon. We've spoken in recent weeks, Sam, about how nobody wants to win League Two, and Bradford have only picked up 2 victories in their last 7 games.
Yeah, a little bit of a stumble, to say the least, at Swindon. Remarkable game, and obviously they're going to have to go into the Easter period now without Smallwood, who I think Graham Alexander has spoken about numerous times about his importance, obviously leadership qualities. But my goodness me, he got it wrong, didn't he, in that tackle against Glasnow. It was a horror challenge. When they were in front in the game as well, coasting, and it gave Swindon the impetus, obviously, to come back as they did. Just a crazy game. You don't see someone on the losing side too readily getting a hat-trick. So he'll be feeling confident, Kavanagh. I kind of spoke of his kind of new knack of scoring the untidy goals in the 6-yard box, poachers finishes, which I didn't really associate with him because he's a bit of a kind of free-spirited number 10, really, I think, by trade. So, yeah, really good for him personally and for Bradford moving forward if he can continue in the vein in the absence of Cook. But, yeah, they lost Baldwin as well. They lost Smallwood, obviously, to the red card. So I think that had a real negative effect on them, and they come up against 2 teams, Notts County, who are a better away side at the moment, and Chesterfield, who I think we've been waiting for to click into gear. They've won 6 of their last 9, 7th best home record in the table. They've got to go there on Monday, so it's going to be a difficult weekend. I'll look out for the long throws, because I didn't even know Brad Hadaday had that in his armoury. He had 3 goal involvements before the weekend, and he got 3 at Swindon in 1 game. Probably expect Sarsavic to come back in. Not sure how he'll redig the midfield, but he was obviously introduced the other day and had a hand in one of the goals. So they got strength in depth. They're a good side. Little bit of an issue is that Donnelly have that game in hand tonight as we speak, so they could be in the top 3 by the time the games kick off on Friday. But I think Bradford for a long time have been probably my pick, and a lot of other teams' picks to be certainly automatically promoted. 51 points at home this season, which is far and away the best record, and is a big reason for the overall season improvement, because they haven't got it right at Valley Parade. They very much have done this season, and expect them to go on and get it done now.
Yeah. Well, we shall see. Colchester, one of the form teams in the league, Adrian, pointing a place off the playoffs, left it late at Newport at the weekend. But back-to-back victories, only 2 defeats in 18. It's the right time to be having this kind of run.
Oh, they've been on a great run. Yeah, look, going back to Bradford, I mean, one of the only teams in form at the top is Port Vale. They're getting ones, really, aren't they? Donny a little bit. Colchester have been to get themselves in the picture. But yeah, look, no one wants to go up in this division. It's going to be really hard. Before I forget, I've got to mention the Grimsby goal from Kieran Green. If anyone hasn't seen it, for Grimsby at Harrogate, he's about 8 yards goal side of the centre circle, well inside his own half, and he scores an amazing goal, and it doesn't bounce in either. It sort of hits the bottom of the net as it drops. Absolutely phenomenal. So well done him.
It's way better than Beckham's, isn't it? Way better than
Beckham's. Way better. It's a Puskás contender, isn't it? It has to be. It has to be in contention for the Puskás Award. Because I don't remember seeing the goal scored in that manner from that distance. I mean, I couldn't reach half the distance these days. It's amazing. So well done him. Yeah, as for Colchester, huge Easter. They've worked so hard to get in this position. 1-7 in the last 10. 6 of those wins with clean sheets. But I've got Crewe at home, tough game, and Donny away. A tough game, but Donny have been quite poor against the leading lights at home this season, so it's winnable. Just a word on Colchester lately. Maybe ridden their luck a bit. A lot of it has been a grinding out results. They've been outshot, Colchester, in each of their last 6 games. I'll read you their number of shots. 12, 10, 7, 4, 3... and 10. Across those six games, they've had 51 shots fewer than their opponents. Yet they're in form, and they're flying. So Colchester have been super efficient. They didn't give you much at the back. And yeah, I think they've put themselves in a position where they can go up. The goalie deserves a mention, Matt Macy, for obvious reasons. According to Opta, he's prevented 6.2 extra goals, which is the most of any keeper in League Two this season. Matt Macy used to be at Arsenal. Pleased
How's
to see
he only 30? I feel like he's been around for about 25 years.
He was sub goalie for Arsenal for donkey's years, wasn't he? Never really got a game. He's been busy, and he's got a great record. So, but yeah, there's sort of heroes all over. They're just strong down the middle, aren't they? I really like the midfielders, McDonald and Reed. And then you've got Joe Taylor in behind Samson Tavida at the moment, two really good forward players. So, you know, one very young, one very old, but it's working, you know, even though they're not particularly prolific. So, yeah, Colchester, if they sneak in the playoffs, they're going to be a tough nut to crack.
Mm. All right. Well, look, it's a huge weekend. Always one of the highlights of the season. Really looking forward to it. And it means that we do a predictions double header. This could be where it all changes in the league table, particularly given what happened last week. There were two perfect scores. Neither of them came from runaway leader S. Parkin. I got Cardiff and Stoke bang on. Clarky, you got a perfect prediction as well, which was Barrow against Walsall. It meant that you and I both finished with 4 points and Sam just the one. So the comeback could be on here.
Because I got four the previous week. I haven't added it up yet. I'll report back after this week. But yeah, the gap is suddenly it's getting interesting.
Yeah, and so, with these two games in two weeks in quick succession, you never know. Not 2 weeks in quick succession. Two rounds of games. It's easy to say.
Yeah, look, he's scratching his head. There's a few little bit of nervousness about Sam.
I know the scores, there's no nerves, is there? You need to do your job and tally up rather than take weeks off.
Yeah, well, I've got eight since the last total. Right. So, yeah, just sort of sweat on that, will you?
It can all change in an instant. Derby against Luton. Go on then, Clarky. You go first with this one.
1-0 Derby.
Shouldn't be giving the chaser the first dibs.
Why not? Does it really matter? Come on. 1-0. 1-0 Derby.
Okay, I've gone 0-0. What about you, Sam?
1-0 Derby.
Oh, you're going to do this all the way through.
Well, that's what I wanted. But I'll go... What have you said, Matt?
0-0.
Oh, yeah, that's the other one, isn't it? reluctantly, 1-1.
Okay, you go first on the next one then, Sam. Is Rotherham Rotherham against Mansfield.
2-1 Rotherham.
All right, I went for 2-0 in that one. What about you, Adrian?
Yeah, if there's any consolation, Sam, I had 2-1 written down, so I'll go 3-1.
Just make sure I go first on Burnley Sheffield United, Matt.
Okay.
The honourable thing.
Okay, absolutely not. It has to be Matt that goes first there. The you sort of mugs away. Classic mugs away.
All right, we shall see. MK Dons Newport, I am going to go first on this one. I've got 0-0 on this one as well, actually. I do love a 0-0 in this game, it turns out. Adrian, any advance on that?
Two teams really bad
horrible
teams.
Form. Yeah.
Two teams in horrible form. Neither's going to win this, are they? It's 1-0.
Sam, you going to make it 2-2 just for
Jesus
a bit
Christ.
Of you?
1-0 MK Dons. I mean, where have you picked this fixture from? Bottom of the barrel.
Yeah, well, I was just sort of trying to avoid teams that we've been talking about, but it's quite difficult to do that. Let's spin it on to Monday.
Come on,
then.
Matt, you go first on Burnley. Come on, you go first because, you know, you're out of it, aren't you?
It means nothing, though, does it, if you claw me back? It means nothing if you're going to have the housery coming into play at Easter.
Go on then, Sam. What do you reckon it's going to be?
0-0, mate. I reckon 0-0.
Okay. Are you saying was that your pick too, Clarky? Because I've got a different one.
It absolutely was my pick. I'll go then for 1-1.
Okay, I've gone 2-0 Burnley in this one. I think the funk is going to continue for Chris Wilder. Burton Birmingham is the League One Monday game that I've picked. How's this going to finish, Adrian?
Said earlier, Burton have got a chance of winning this, but I've written down here Burton 1, Birmingham 3. So I'm going to stick with my first instinct and say that Birmingham will get the job done as they pursue history.
I've got Dion to win 1-0, Sam. What about you?
I flirted with that idea, but I'm on the Clarkie train here. I just think records to break and all that. Yeah, I'm going to go 2-0, Birmingham. Don't think Burton will score.
2-0. Port Vale, Grimsby last up. I've gone 2-0 to Moore's men here. Sam, what do you reckon?
Yeah, Grimsby, decent side, loads to play for. I'll go 3-1.
To Port Vale. Adrian, is that where you were going to pick?
3-1. great minds and all that. I think it could be a belter. Vale 3, Grimsby 2.
Okay. Let me just reiterate, Derby will beat Luton 1-0. Just make sure I've said it. So it's hollow when you get the 3-pointer next week.
Well, you know, this is the way that the random draw of my brain picking who goes first works, I'm afraid. Right, before we go, let me remind you, our partners Quinbet have an offer for you where you can get 50% back up to £35 and 10 free spins. If your account has sportsbook losses at the end of your first day's betting, Quinbet will refund 50% of your losses as a free bet up to £35 minimum 3 bets, plus 10 free online casino spins at Quinn Casino. Even if your account is up, you're guaranteed a £5 free bet, plus 10 free spins, provided you place at least one bet of £10 or greater at the minimum odds. T's and C's apply. It's 18 plus, and for new UK customers only. Visit gambleaware.org for information on responsible gambling. Tweet of the week to finish. I thought, Sam, this might be the most Route 1 footballer's tweet in history. It comes from Barrow's Will Stanway, who's quote tweeting the Barrow account saying a lovely 3 points, blue heart emoji, hashtag we are Barrow, this after their 2-0 win against Walsall. And Will simply says 3 points, clean sheet, thumbs up emoji. I mean, why bother?
Reminds me of myself here. Yeah, there's not a great degree of thought gone into it, is there? But yeah, it's not received much traction. So again, a man after my own heart. 159 likes, no comments.
Not a single comment.
Telling, isn't it? It is telling, yeah.
Maybe I'll add something to his profile later on. But yeah, not a picture of himself. So that's something. But yeah, do better.
What I like about it, Clark, is it feels like somebody's told him, look, you might as well tweet something, you've won the game. It's not even a picture of him in the initial post. It's Presley instead. So, like, I mean, this is a token effort from a man who doesn't seem that bothered about Twitter, which is probably just the right way to be.
No, he can't be arsed with it, can he, really? Very few tweets. He kind of just sticks with the quote tweets, whatever happens. He never really has an opinion of his own, does Will Stanway. So, it's very, very basic, for me. So 6 out of 10 all day long. Just wanted to reference, I sent you this one, the Peterborough one. Obviously, there's a little bit of banter, Birmingham congratulating the admin of Posh. And there was a, you know, the respect emoji that you cherish so much, Matt, was returned from the Posh account. So yeah, nice to see some, you know, harmony between two clubs after a great showpiece event.
Yeah, and well done to Will for at least having a try. He does have wonderful teeth, I've got to say, just scrolling through his timeline.
Yeah, is the Birmingham retort reply from Tom Brady himself? It sounds like it could be, doesn't it? Congratulations on a great game.
He had the same trench coat on again, didn't he, by the way? Did you see that?
Clarkie, yeah. Putting him up on his clobber. Unbelievable.
Same trench coat again. I mean, this guy is a multi-billionaire. He's got one coat. Unbelievable. Yeah, it could have been, but surely he's got he hasn't got the keys to the Twitter account, surely. Although, we saw, didn't we? We saw the owner, Wagner, you know, very hands-on in the raw box at the end of that final. So, yeah, maybe they've all got the keys to the admin as well. So, you know, they're heavily involved, aren't they, those two?
As a Nottingham Forest supporter, let me point out that giving the owner the keys to the Twitter account is not a good idea. So, Birmingham, if that was the case, then let's take it back off him quickly and change that password. All right, that's where we're going to leave it today. Enjoy the bumper weekend of Easter EFL football. We'll analyse it all next week for you. For now, though, it's goodbye.